When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I just thought it was funny, just for a second. As we've gone through this like podcast, I've gotten just so fucking lazy about editing. At the beginning, I tried so hard all the time. It took like hours to edit. Now it's like, does it line up? All right, intro, outro, music, and we're done.
Nothing wrong with that.
I just thought it was funny. I think we're getting like better too, where there's not a bunch of like dead air. But
tell us what you guys think. Do you think Kyle should go back to editing this for hours,
like over editing everything for literally no reason,
taking out every breath of air every time I breathe through my nose too close to the microphone?
I did do that. I took out a lot of like we didn't know how to. Record. So
I still don't know how to record, to be fair.
Yeah,
to be honest, B minus,
but let me know, what do you think?
Is it better this natural? You hear all of the extra noises, or are you tired of hearing me burp and fart and sneeze and yawn and burp? Did I say burp?
I had to leave that fart in the show.
I know you did. You had to comment on it. That's the issue. That's the issue. It's not that it happens. It's that we have to say something about it.
We have to talk about it. Yeah. Reacting to something. Can't take it out then because it just makes no sense.
All right.
Cold open question.
Yeah. If a fart happens while you're recording and no one says anything, did it really happen?
Yes. Yes, it did.
Oh, okay.
Because, like, it's on the recording. It's on the record.
What if they didn't hear it either?
Well?
The people listening.
I thought you were talking, like, the people inside the microphone.
Yeah, them too. Because that's how a microphone works, right? It's just like little people inside of it writing everything down.
Yeah, they just listen.
Yeah. That's how it works, right?
Can you imagine? That would be cool.
That would be kind of creepy, though, to think that they just sit in my house.
They're just waiting.
What do they eat?
Each other.
Oh, God. How do they survive?
It doesn't last long. It's
That's why we have to replace our microphone so often.
Right, yeah.
Makes sense. Makes sense. Anyway.
Welcome. Yeah. That's Eric.
Welcome to the Oh No Disc Golf Podcast, where we make up hypothetical situations that wouldn't exist in any other weird universe except for ours.
It could happen, though.
And we talk about disc golf.
Hey, every once in a while.
And I'm Eric. My best friend is Kyle.
Oh, sorry. I'm Kyle. I'm going to leave them both in there, too.
I believe it. We just talked about editing, so
fuck.
Don't be surprised.
Damn it. Oh, and like, the things I was supposed to like put in the show notes, I didn't do any of that. Because by the time I'm editing, I forgot that I said I was going to put it in the show notes.
It's for what exactly? Like, what are we talking about?
Like the one time I was supposed to put like the suicide hotline in there.
Oh.
I don't think I did. Just, you know, things.
Well, I guess I'll just have to do a better job as a partner of typing somewhere in the outline what needs to go in the show notes.
If you could. That's probably helpful.
That'll be what I have to do. We're a team. We're partners.
We're partners.
We're lawyers.
I was going to plug the We're Partners episode.
We're not lawyers. Just
we're so not lawyers. We're just yeah. Cut that out. Cut that.
Check out DiscBaron.com and use code 155402 for 10% off. Use code ONO for free shipping on any item at our Teespring store. And check out our Instagram, Facebook, and our YouTube. You can listen to all of our episodes on YouTube, including the interviews, which you can actually see our faces. It's not necessarily a good thing, but you can.
It's there.
They're there.
Also, if you want to watch and see our faces, Spotify. That is.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I forgot sure. Spotify does that.
But it's not, like, huge. You know, it's no big deal. And, like, you know, the ones where it's just Eric and I, we don't usually do video. Because I like the low pressure of not having video. It means I don't have to put on pants.
Yeah, you guys would not like the video of me right now. I got a button-up shirt unbuttoned. I look like...
Oh, God.
I look like Mac, Fat Mac, with his Hawaiian shirts. But without them buttoned up.
All right. Unbuttoned. So, Fat Mac.
Yeah. So.
Well, let's start off the show by Eric telling us about how he played disc golf.
I just want to quickly plug that if we are on video, I don't dress like this, so you don't have to worry about seeing that. That's it.
If you were worried.
Yeah, if you were. Disc golf this weekend. I had the above par tournament in Saginaw at Wicks. It was warming up Wicks, it was called. It was by, like I said, above par, and Andrew Garza were like the leading tournament directors. And
nice.
Well run. It had circle markers, which is starting to become like a regular thing in like the tournaments, which is awesome. But like the whiskers, so that's really nice to just not have to ask your card on if you're outside the circle or not.
Absolutely. Love having that.
Cause then like when people it's one of those things that it's so small. But when I ask it one time and they're like, oh, yeah, of course, I feel dumb for even asking it. It's like, I just wanted to make sure. It's like half the time I'm asking, I'm like, I know I'm out, but I don't want them to be thinking like, oh, he's not
he's
out.
He's cheating.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, no, I do the same thing. I have to ask like probably four times around.
Yeah. So that's just awesome that it's finding into it more and more tournaments in my area. I shot really great, really good the first round. I put myself in a tie for second after the first round, and then the second round came on and I don't even know what happened. It was something else. I think everyone on our card had a streak of three holes where we went four or five under par, including the winner. And it was just weird.
Well, did you feel like you couldn't push at that point, or like
what was going on? There was nothing that I could pinpoint as what like kept me from playing well. It just felt like there was always those shots that just needed to be like a little bit better to get me like the birdie, or a little bit better to help me save the par. And it was just, I feel weird saying like pieces weren't falling together, you know, because I don't, if it feels like I'm putting blame on something else and it was just my play, but it's like my play wasn't bad. It just wasn't good either. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like it still,
yeah.
It still was like over 900 rated, which isn't like amazing, but it's good for me and it's consistent for me. So it just, it was like, I couldn't do anything that was great or spectacular to push me to that next part.
Gotcha.
So well, it was weird.
But still sick to be in a position to where, like,
yeah,
you're in second.
Yeah, it was, that was the first time I ever actually put myself on a lead card to try to chase down first. So it was good experience to kind of figure that out. And yeah,
what would you recommend? Like, what did you learn that you could tell the listeners about?
Just make sure if you got a tournament coming up that you really think you have a chance at winning or you want to have a chance at winning, go and practice your shots on some of the harder holes. So it's leading into my next point. Hole two at Wicks is probably about 450, you think?
Yep. Right?
Yeah, 450. It's got a big tree right in the middle. It's a pretty tight fairway, and it's a big dog leg right. I don't have an amazing forehand that can put me down and up to like close to the basket, but I have one that can get me in the fairway. And my backhand wasn't feeling the most comfortable. I was leaning on my forehand the most, but that's not a hole I usually throw a forehand on. And so that hole, I double bogeyed both rounds because I either didn't throw my backhand or because I wasn't comfortable in my forehand.
It's just vice versa. Far.
Yeah, I mean, but I was fine like taking the three. Like I was trying to take my forehand and I was trying to just lay up in kind of like the middle, get past that big tree, and I was trying to just to like leave it in the middle, leave me a forehand up and like try to make the putt. Was all I was trying to do, and because I normally don't throw forehand on that hole, it wasn't comfortable and I wasn't throwing it well.
Gotcha.
So
and those practice the woods are really thick on that hole.
Practice your shots. You know, even if you think it's a hole that you're like, oh, I'm always going backhand. Maybe just try the opposite, and try from there.
Yeah, because I mean, you never really know if like it's just not going to be working suddenly. You know.
Yeah.
Like, good to have a backup.
Yeah, yeah. So, but it's funny, on hole two at Wicks, I double bogeyed it from both sides of the fairway. So the first round one, it faded out early into the trees on the right, and I tried to hack my way through with, you know, whatever.
It's a thick woods, yeah.
Yeah. And then the second round, because I tried to adjust from letting it fade early, I turned it over too much on the left and tried to hack my way through the left-hand side. And yeah, so
I feel like the left-hand side's a little bit easier, but
it for sure is, and I would have been fine, but because I had it in my head that I was going to take a double bogey after my second shot where I like hit early again, I pured it and then went like up to threes tee pad and had a putt back from like threes tee pad. So
gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was just
too well.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. It wasn't too good of a shot, but that's what happens. But I still ended up at fourth, which was nice. It was also, I'm still dealing with some of like, I think it's like an imposter syndrome where I don't feel like I deserve it. Based on my play, because I know I can play better than that. So I don't know. It's just hard to hard.
But
to
it's
deal
not
with.
Like you played bad. Just...
I know. Yeah, I get. I mean, that makes sense. I didn't play good enough for first, but I didn't play bad enough to beat last either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Top
yeah.
five.
Top four. Almost podium and
almost on that podium.
Yeah. I met some great people though. One of the guys who was on my card both round, Miles, was just like a really positive, fun to be with dude. So that's always cool. And then his friend was on the first card, and then I had Airbets, which is kind of a fun local dude who's just kind of always cheering people on and kind of fun to be around. So that's what matters in the end, right? I had fun.
That is literally the most important thing.
Yeah. Fun.
Because
fun.
It's a game.
Right. If you're not having fun, then you're doing the wrong hobby. Yeah, not to say...
Go find a game you like.
Playing disc golf bad is not fun. I get that. But you got to be able to laugh at yourself sometimes.
Or if you're like me, all the time.
Yeah, all the time. And then I turned around and traveled down to Otisville, which is actually, I think, the closest tournament I've ever been to. I think. But it's at Hunt's Hideaway. It's a private course near me. And it is much different than Wicks. It is very tough. Wicks is tough, but Hunt's Hideaway is, like, I think neg 5 there is 1,000 rated, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Lot of OB, lot of tight OB, and a lot of long holes. I think there's 5 par 4s, and then there's, like, 3 or 4 of those holes that are, like, they could be par 4s and no one would bat an eye, but they're par 3s because it's trying to be like, you know, like the closest thing to a tour level course that we have in our area.
Gotcha. And, give me one. Can we pause just for 1 second?
Yeah. Can you pause the recording?
Sorry. Hooray.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hunt's Hideaway, it has a triple island hole. It has baskets with 15 feet, 20 feet behind it is out of bounds. And there's about 3 or 4 holes where lining the whole left side. So if you're a backhand dominant player, right-hand backhand dominant player, along the whole left side of the fairway, about 15 feet off the tee pad is out of bounds.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it is a fucking tough course. I shot before coming in today or coming in this weekend on Sunday, I shot my 2 highest scores were a neg 10 and a neg 12 or plus 10 and a plus 12.
Oh wow. I was
you're like, "Well, that's pretty good."
Like you got so good, dude.
No, my 2 highest scores were plus 10 and plus 12 coming in to Sunday. So first round, even though it didn't feel good, I shot a plus 5, which put me in,
hey,
I think, 9.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, it cut my last highest in half, and then but it put me in 9. So I kind of felt like I was out of it. You know, like I was like, I mean, most I can get is like 3rd. Maybe 4th.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. And then I started the round and I bogeyed the first 5 of 6 holes. So I was like, all right, yeah, I'm out. There's a chance I get last at this point, you know?
Yeah.
And I kind of let it all go. I don't want to say gave up, but I just played disc golf. I didn't focus on score. I didn't focus on my shots too much. I mean, I focused on them, but I didn't overthink them.
Right.
And
you knew what to throw. So.
Yeah, before I knew it, I was in a tie for 3rd. And I needed to birdie out, and I was coming up to kind of like a string of holes that was going to be like three hard holes in a row and then a fairly easy one, you know, depending on how it goes. And, I birdied two of the three and ended up finishing for fifth. So
nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I was happy, overall with how I played. You know, obviously there's things I wish I could change, but what do they say? Hindsight is 2020, right?
Yeah.
Is that the saying? Yep. Yeah.
I think it is.
The thing I feel like I changed mostly in my second round is instead of throwing the backhand, I went straight for the forehand. Because most of the shots play dominant to the forehand. Okay. They are easy to kind of play like the layup and just go for par. And that's what I did instead of trying to get there with the backhand. And it worked out.
That's awesome.
That
sounds like you're playing smart.
Yeah, the thing also that I was really proud of is I only took one out of bounds stroke the entire tournament.
Hell yeah.
So that was cool because there's
a lot of OB there.
Yeah, there's so much OB. And what else? Oh, this is the other thing. It's I don't know why. I don't know. I can't think of any reason or like thought process in my head, but I never felt pressure while I was putting. I never felt like I have to make this putt. I have to make this putt. I have to make this putt. There was never that there, except for one time where it was about a 30-foot putt and it was a giant drop off behind the basket. Mm-hmm. And that was the only time I couldn't remember thinking like, I just got to get this putter in the basket. Like, and then I switched my mindset at that point for that putt specifically, instead of I want to get this putter in the basket. I just need it to hit metal. That's what I switched it to. I just need this putter to hit metal so it doesn't go flying down the drop off. And I made the putt, and so I don't know. I wish I had more insight on why I didn't feel pressure on my putting. I didn't putt abnormally well, but I didn't putt bad either. So it was just kind of like a non-issue, which was weird because usually I put a lot of pressure on my putting.
Which I think is dumb because you're a good putter.
But I think that's why I put my pressure on it, right? Is because like this is where I can gain strokes, right? Is making these putts is what can push me to gain strokes. So that's why, like, I don't know. It was just weird. It was just naturally not there. Like the pressure was just naturally not there. And I wish I knew what caused it. But yeah. So
you could harness it.
Yeah, so I could harness it and kind of try to get in that mindset every tournament, because it was nice to kind of just be able to step up to the putt and putt normally and not putt like I'm in a tournament, because that's what you're supposed to do, right? Is just putt normally.
Yeah, play like you're playing a casual round.
Yep. I also very much wish I would have gotten my cart completely finished for Hunt's Hideaway, because it would have been nice to be able to sit down everywhere I went, because it is an extremely long course with a lot of hills.
Gotcha. Sounds like a fun course.
Yeah. I mean, next time you come, we'll have to try it out. That's it. That's all I got for a tournament. Oh, I averaged over 900 golf the whole weekend, which is a huge win for me.
Hell yeah.
Huge win. I'm saying it now so I can keep myself to my word, but if I win an AMET 2 tournament this year, I'm switching to MPO next year, and I'm just not looking back. I'll keep losing an MPO until I figure it out.
I like the thought process.
Now, outside of disc golf, Kyle had some fun.
Yeah, I've been just like off the disc golf life for a minute. I don't know. Needed to get back just like going outside. So I went and saw it's the Wubs, some dubstep, Wes Anderson, and then Breadwinner at the Black Box in like downtown Denver. Super fun. Love having like an option for like an underground feeling venue that's like super low pressure, and it was like $10. Just fucking awesome. So yeah, that's go do things is what I wanted to just kind of like boil it down. If you're kind of stuck in a rut like I've been, you know, even if it's going and listening to music for a few hours, it's better than just sleeping. I don't know. So
did you know any of these artists? What are they called?
No, they're a little bit smaller names than like a, you know, going to like Red Rocks or something. But I listen, they're on Spotify, and I just like listened to them for a little bit, but like before I bought the tickets, and I was like, oh no, this is perfect. This will be great. So
this is exactly what he needed.
Needed the Whoops. But like the venue is fucking awesome. There's like I think like 8 subwoofers in this like setup that they have, and it vibrates your soul. It's so great. For such a small space, it is so loud. So glad I had earplugs, but really cool place to just like sit in the corner, close my eyes, and feel it. Yeah.
See, that's like one of the reasons I hate concerts, is I hate the feeling of the music on my body.
You would have hated this then.
Yeah, no, I don't. I've never enjoyed it.
I like it.
Each their own, man.
Yeah, it's definitely a vibe, but I didn't feel like out of place too badly, yeah. Too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So is it safe to say you'll be back?
100%. I'm definitely going to go back there. Lots of fun for a Tuesday night, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure they do shows fairly often too, right? If that's like their main gig.
All the time. Every day they have something going on. So.
Hell yeah.
It's, yeah, about a half hour away from me. Pretty sick. Love it.
Anything
else?
It's
weird to have like an option like that though, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
To me, I still think it might like in my head like this is weird. Like,
because like the closest to entertainment you'll get like that near Saginaw is like a club or a metal concert, you know, or like you know, like some random ass metal concert, and then occasionally you'll get like some like dubstep or electronic music that like comes, but it won't be, you know, once a week, let alone, you know, if you're lucky, once a month.
For sure. Yeah. It's just like a completely different scene. It's just.
Yeah. I think you might be able to get it like maybe once every other week down in Detroit, but even then,
you really have to.
I don't think it would be like the every, you know, like the same spot every time. You would have to find it type thing. Like,
I feel like Grand Rapids might have like a little bit of a similar scene, and maybe like Ann Arbor, but yeah, I can't think of anything near Saginaw that was anything close to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, sure. Go do things. You know, I was super nervous. I haven't been to a concert or like a show in like over 4 years, so I was like definitely panicked smoking a bowl in the car before I went in. But I don't know. It was fine once I went in there. Just got to break the seal.
And do things that you enjoy as long as they don't hurt other people.
Yeah. Yep.
It is. It's hard to motivate yourself to get out and just enjoy life sometimes.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with disc golf with me, but I love it. I feel like I play like trash every single time. It's just annoying. It's been quite a while of that. So
number one is to have fun.
Yeah. I still do have fun. It's just I am finally getting frustrated with.
No, I'm saying like, you know, like if it's causing you more stress than it is bringing you happiness, then don't force it on yourself.
Right.
Is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, like if you go out with Will, enjoy the company with Will, but don't force yourself to go out by yourself and hate it.
And it's just like, I don't know. I typically really enjoy practicing like every day, all the time. I just like having a disc in my hand. And it's just been not that. So I don't know, man. But I feel like, you know, doing things like going to go listen to music and shit kind of helpful in just like taking steps to opening the door back outside again.
Well, I mean, you have to go outside to get back inside, so.
Ooh.
Maybe, so you know how we joked about, like, whenever we have an interviewer on, we suck all their power out? Maybe that's what it is you've just been interviewing with me, so I've sucked all your love for disc golf out, and now I'm just like, I'm dying to disc golf all the time, and you're just like, I don't know.
It's my favorite game still, for sure, but like, I don't know. You got it, too, where it's like, it's just difficult for me to force myself to go by myself lately, whereas usually I love that shit.
Mm-mm.
Live for that shit. I don't know. So,
well,
it'll come around.
Maybe the new Pro Tour is coming up. We'll get you excited.
Let's hear it.
All right. Well, we had the first ever Disc Golf Pro Tour stop in Washington State. It was the Cascade Open or something weird. I just had it, but then, you know.
Fancy.
But it's the first ever Pro Tour stop. Cascade Challenge.
Ooh.
Yeah,
you forgot part of it.
Yep. And that was taken down by Ricky Wysocki. So that was cool. And Cap Merch got her second win ever. I was heavily rooting for Sayananda because I think she's funny. And but it was cool. It was cool to see something in a new state that has never hosted a Pro Tour event. It is fun to kind of watch history, you know? Who knows? It could become like a major stop in the future, and so it's cool to see like its beginning. It was a very pretty course, lots of big trees. I feel like any course that's up in that area, what is that, the west, right?
Yeah
it's anything like on the up coast. In that, like, yeah, that northwest area is good looking courses. They're big trees, wooded, but also they find a way to make them like long, so like the holes long.
Yeah.
And
I love how the sport really takes the natural beauty and puts it on display.
Yeah. Instead of like golf courses, which just like mow giant fairways in a
they
woods.
All are the same. It's just You know, it's the variation is just not there. And
speaking of
a basketball court.
Speaking of, I don't know if I talked about it last time, but Jennifer Allen got her ace on SportsCenter Top 10. Did I talk about this?
Yeah, hole one, right?
Yeah, okay, never mind then. They removed it because golf got an ace, so fuck you, golf.
Oh. Yeah, fuck you, golf.
I already talked about it, but I gotta say it again. That's funny. And then coming up, we have the Portland Open. This will be the third year at Glendevere. It is the first ever time we're seeing an Elite Plus event. I think it's just worth more points, if I remember right. Nothing crazy.
Why is it so fancy?
I think it's like, I think they're trying to like make events in like stages. So there's like majors, right? Which are like Worlds, Champions Cup, United States Disc Golf Championship. You know, there's like all those European Open. Yeah.
Right.
And then I think Elite Plus is supposed to be like the in between Worlds and Elite events, and they're just like worth slightly more points. And then there's Elite events, and then there's Silver Series. And so I think it's just like a way of making each event worth like different points, different amounts of points. I don't understand why. I feel like it's just kind of one of those maybe that where it's like a growing pain, you know? It's like they're trying to do too much. Like, I don't feel like it's necessary to do
totally.
It, but
it's more confusing than anything.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see if it's something that kind of sticks around or if it'll just be there for a couple years or not.
I agree with you, right? Very much. Growing pains. That's like nail on the head.
Yeah, okay, so for the Elite Plus or Elite, whatever they're called specifically, there's two of them, and they are worth 150% points awarded, along with the playoff events, which I can kind of understand the playoff events because they're the end of the year, so it's kind of that last push to get those extra points, but these are just kind of thrown in. But the playoff events are D-Glow, MVP Open, and the DGPT Championship are all playoff
events. It's like Double Jeopardy. Sorry.
Yeah.
Timing is horrible.
That's what the playoff events are. So, I don't know. If it doesn't add anything to the coverage or to the actual stop, then to me it's kind of silly. But
it's
like I said, I think
no
it's... I think it's just like they don't want it to just be another stop. So, but they also don't want it to make it as big as a major. And
right, like, oh look, significance.
Yeah,
for sure.
So, but
ooh.
I mean, it's two different courses. Well, yeah, it's two different courses. It's Glendevere West and Glendevere East. So that you know makes it closer to like a major, but it still is like. It's just unnecessary, and so yeah, we'll see how it goes. Starts tomorrow or starts today, if you're listening to this on Thursday,
when it will be releasing. So
yeah, and if you've watched the last 2 years, it has all come down to one stroke, so it should make for exciting. Disc golf at the very
least.
This
is the one where there was like eight people in contention for first, right?
I don't believe so.
Oh, okay.
No,
maybe
I think that was Idlewild.
All right. Sorry.
So this was the one where 2 years ago, Kevin Jones was in the lead and then he chained out of like four putts in a row.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. It was bad. It was hard to watch.
Yeah, and Simon, it hurt my soul.
Simon won it last year by one stroke to Garrett Gerthy. It is. It's on a golf course, and out of all the golf courses, this is kind of one of the better ones. They do a good job of working the places that are in between the golf fairways, but still adding, like, it's okay to throw the golf fairways in every once in a while. Like, I'm cool with, like, one big wide open shot every once in a while, but the ones that are, like, golf fairway after golf fairway after golf fairway after golf fairway.
It's like, are we playing golf or are we playing disc golf?
Yeah, so this is, I think it's hole 16 or 17, and they could have changed it this year. It goes across two different fairways, so you have to start from, like, one side of one fairway and shoot across two fairways and get to the other side, like, through a bunch of trees. And it's, like, it's, to me, is one of, like, the most picturesque holes because of the large trees that are in the northwest, so pretty excited. I'd still, you know, no matter what happens, I'll never choose this over, like, Hornets Nest or MVP Open or anything like that. So,
but still, you know, it's disc golf.
You can't have those all the time. You know, like, if I had to watch MVP Open every week, I still wouldn't get bored.
It wouldn't be as special, though.
No, I know. I'm just kidding. It was a joke. Yeah, it definitely, courses like this that are still good and entertaining and bring a different aspect to the game are still important. And it's, I mean, the more we fight it, the harder it gets to enjoy it. And I'm still going to enjoy it with every ounce of my being.
I'm in.
Sweet.
Top five. Just kidding.
Topic three.
You want to say topic three? Topic three.
You say whatever you want, my friend.
All right. We're doing the questions because we're out of top five ideas. Send us your top five ideas so that we can go back to them if you would like to. If not, that's fine too.
We'll throw a top five in here or there when we.
It's going to happen.
Think of something good.
Yeah.
All right. So that's. Individually, you go first, or we both can be thinking about it, but build your perfect card. So you got to pick three people that you play disc golf with that are from your favorite TV shows or movies. They can be from a movie, even though I don't know you don't watch a lot of movies. You can even throw an extra, like, you know, who's caddying for you if you want. In there, if you got the,
you know, it'd be fun.
Yeah, I'm listening. No, I don't. But
Peter Pan.
Yeah. As a caddy or as a player?
As a player.
The Robin Williams one.
Yeah. I think it'd just be fun to be able to fly on a course. I just think that'd be dope. Yeah.
He just pass you the magic power like he does and.
Yeah.
And the cartoon, and you just float
forever.
All right. Well, then, because you're taking Peter Pan, I'm going to pick Rufio on my card.
All right.
Just for funsies.
Rufio.
Rufio. I'm going to pick, before you can take him, I'm going to pick Frank Reynolds as my caddy.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. I'll take Charlie. That is my caddy.
All right.
He's going to, like, show up with, like, one shoe. Yeah. So that every shot, he's going to be like, oh, it's a left hand, you know, going to the left. You're not wearing a left shoe.
So you do watch movies.
Oh, yeah. What is that from?
Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore, yeah. That's an old movie, though. I'll watch old movies. I don't like new movies. How about that?
Okay, that's fair.
Too much money in it. I like shitty stuff.
Who else am I going to put on my card? Ron Swanson's got to go on the card.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. I'm thinking a cartoon.
I was trying to think of who, what cartoon character would be good on my card, and I couldn't come up with one fast enough, and I didn't.
I can't
want there to
think
be
of a good cartoon or that would like it would actually be beneficial. But I'm gonna go with BoJack Horseman. It'd be fun to watch him just get wasted on the course, or like do drugs, and you know, he's like a 1,200-pound man horse. So,
so at the very least, he'd be distracting to the other cards.
And he doesn't have hooves; he has hands. So,
no. So he can still throw.
Oh yeah, big time. He's not very athletically gifted. But, you know, who is?
Then for my cartoon, I am going to go with Jake the dog. I'm going to go with Jake the dog.
Jake the dog.
Yeah, because he just seems like a... He seems like just a... He's, if I had to pick a cartoon version of Frank Reynolds, I feel like Jake's it.
I think he would just like stretch his arm out so he could make it and then take a nap on the course.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I'm okay with that. Like I'm fine sitting back and watching my card mates play good disc golf. Like that's cool.
I dig it.
So yeah, I got Jake the dog. I don't remember who I picked.
Okay, cool. I don't remember what I said either, so let's not recap.
Jake the dog, Frank Reynolds as a caddy, and two other guys.
Just like immediately speaking and putting that into the trash.
Yeah.
All right, Eric. How many discs or molds are in your bag?
So someone just asked this on Facebook, and that's why it's here. And I was trying to figure it out. This is my guesstimate, right? Because I'm so my tournament bag, because that has stayed the same, but I still don't know because I never count. I think is 21 discs.
All right.
And I think it's 7 different molds. Approximately. Could be slightly off one way.
I think
or the
I
other.
Have almost the exact number of discs in my bag as well, weirdly.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like 21 is a good...
Yeah, somewhere in there, 20, 21. And I have like a bunch of different molds right now. I'm trying to work in like the terminal velocity discs and... My bag is set up for practice right now, so
here I'll go through my molds just to figure this out, because 7 was like a guess. I got Penroses, I got Zones, I got a Baobab, I got Ursus, I got Rocks.
Don't say I got before everything. Just say it.
I got Strikes. I got way more than 7 then.
You liar.
Orcs, PDs, Servini.
Wow.
DD3. So I got 10 molds apiece.
You had like almost fucking 7 in just the drivers.
Yeah, yeah. My drivers and my mid-range slot right now is kind of messed up. I feel like there's this weird thing that happens with certain drivers where they're just as like overstable, you know, like they can do the same flight line, but if there's wind, they are going to get taken by the wind way more than something else, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So
wind stability.
Yeah. So like I have a PD that flies exactly like one of my orcs and exactly like, I didn't even say Firebirds. I have 11 molds in my bag. And
he's a liar.
2017 Firebird. But the PD will fight the wind more than the Firebird and the Orc will. Along with, if it's in a tailwind, the Orc will get the most benefit out of the wind compared to the Firebird and the PD. Like,
definitely.
I don't need all three of them, but I have room, so they're going to stay in.
I like it. You got options for the wind.
Yeah.
I can't. Well, Eric,
I have that many molds in my bag.
I think that was episode 102.
I'm just still upset that there's that many molds in my bag.
Get it cut down, bud.
Nah, I think I'm okay. Oh my god, I think I have more than that. I didn't say the berries. I told you
he's a liar. He's lying.
I have 12. Now I have to.
He's lying.
I'm going to post it on Instagram.
He probably has like 15.
Tomorrow. About how many bolts I have in my bag. That doesn't even make sense though, because I have 4 Penroses. So that would mean each disc is a new mold, except for one. And that's the Penroses. And that's a lie. Oh, I know that. Anyway, that was episode 102.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. Eric, thank you for being here.
Should we just like say bye in like a super monotone voice? Like,
goodbye, thank everybody. You. Hope you had a good time.
Catch you on the flip side.
Fuck you. Catch you on the flip side.